Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Thursday, February 15, 2018. South Sudan's warring parties negotiating in Addis Ababa are stuck on sticky issues blocking the road to peace.
The sticking issues are around issues of power sharing, or that we call it responsibility sharing. So it's about responsibility sharing, and then and also around issues of transitional security arrangements.
And youth stakeholders at the forum threaten not to sign a final document if their demands are not met.
As a South Sudanese youth, and our position remains very unchanged, that the only peace that we must attend to as a South Sudanese youth is good peace. And that is something that we can only, we cannot be a stakeholder to something that does not make any difference.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The delegates from civil society, the academia, youth and women coalition at the high-level revitalization forum are appealing to South Sudanese warring parties in Addis Ababa to compromise and make concessions on their political differences in the interest of peace. The activists say the people of South Sudan have been watching this phase of the high-level revitalization forum with keen interest and hope that the forum will bring an end to the suffering of the South Sudanese people. Rajab Mohandis represents an umbrella group of civil society groups at the forum. He says the hopes for peace in South Sudan are rapidly diminishing.
Discussions are focusing on transitional governance arrangements and also transitional security arrangements. And this is Chapter 1 and Chapter 2 of the peace agreement. Quite a number of aspects have been agreed upon, and so as it stands now, the discussions on the transitional security arrangement may be completed hopefully tomorrow. And also discussions on governance is ongoing, but the whole thing will end tomorrow, Friday. So the parties are doing their best, and the mood in the room is cordial. The parties talk to themselves, and they keep engaging one another. However, it appears like there is a deep mistrust among themselves, and this drags the discussions very slowly.
And what about this proposal? I came across a document last night, and there's a proposal in the governance structure that there will be four vice presidents in South Sudan. Is that still the case?
Well, that is a proposal, yes, that has been put forward by the mediation team after discussions with the different parties, and also considering the positions of these parties. They put up this, that it's subject to discussion, and so the parties have asked for some time this evening to discuss this among themselves before they discuss it in plenary, so that they're able to present their positions on this proposal. So we expect this to be done tomorrow, that the parties will present their positions on this proposal, and discussions will follow, and of course we hope the discussions will be good, and maybe they will reach consensus on the proposal.
And you are there literally representing the people of South Sudan. You are speaking on behalf of those who are not able to travel to Addis Ababa. What is your feeling? What message are you telling these warring parties in the room there? It looks like it is boiling down to positions now rather than the issues.
Yes. Of course, we have been telling them repeatedly that the discussions should be people-focused, not power-focused or power-centered. And we have been reminding them continuously of the responsibility they have to reach compromises and consensus to be able to agree on something that will restore peace and stability in our country. And as we are drawing to the end of this phase of the forum, this morning made an appeal as civil society, youth, academia, and women's coalition at the higher level, the revitalization forum, that the parties, the people of South Sudan, have been following these discussions closely, and in their best interest, they feel that the parties seize the opportunity of this forum to reach an agreement and sign an agreement that brings peace and an end to their suffering.
You have been there for 2 weeks. If people in Juba ask you, do you think the parties will sign an agreement on Saturday?
I cannot preempt that right now, but the progress we are making in the negotiation has been very slow progress. And so I can't be definite that an agreement will be signed before people get back home. But if there is significant progress made in agreeing on quite a number of the provisions of the agreement, that will still be positive. It will put us a step ahead.
I know that it's not comfortable to answer questions that are targeted towards you, but you are there to represent the people, and the people would want to hear what is happening inside the room. Now, we hear that there are people who are bringing unrealistic positions there, and that is what is slowing the process. Who are these people?
Well, of course, each party has its own position. Each party has its own position, and they have been able to share these positions with the mediation team. And so in our view, these positions are, according to the mediation team, these positions are far apart. And so it is only that they are not able to quickly kind of narrow these differences. So I would not precisely say which party puts a very hard disposition, but I can guarantee that the positions of these parties are not converging in any way. So it is kind of a difficult and uphill task, but of course discussions are still ongoing, and we hope something good will come out in the next 4 hours.
What are the sticking issues? What are these positions that are slowing the process? I want to hear from you. People in Juba are waiting. What are these positions that are slowing the process?
Okay. First, as you well know, that the program, the discussions will end by tomorrow. We should be able to put out clearly to the civil population, to the citizens in the country, a summary of everything that has happened. But at least for now, I would say the sticking issues are around issues of power sharing, but we call it responsibility sharing. So it's about responsibility sharing, and also around issues of transitional security arrangements.
That's Raja Mohandis, a representative of a civil society umbrella group at the High-Level Revitalization Forum in Addis Ababa. He was speaking to me this past hour from Addis. A representative of youth at the High-Level Forum says he is disappointed that the parties are not working to address the root causes of the conflict and are instead dwelling on grabbing political power. Malwal Bolkir, a member of the UN Secretary General's advisory panel of experts on youth, peace and security, says youth will sign an agreement only if it addresses the root causes of the conflict.
What we want to agree on as the youth, as the stakeholders of the talks, is to sign a good peace, not to sign a power-sharing agreement, which is more about the old people dividing for them among themselves. So it has to be issues that address the causes of the conflict in South Sudan so that people don't return back to war. It should not be more about discussing the oppositions and stuff like that.
What is your definition of a good peace?
My definition of a good peace is first and foremost to address issues which lead to the conflict. Because like what the current leaders are doing right now is to remain the status quo. It should not be for them to maintain the status quo. It should be for them to discuss the issues which drag the conflict, which drag the country sorry to where it is right now. And those issues are not being addressed. So all the different parties, they are coming up with their propositions are more less on, you know, on how they have to divide powers and stuff like that, which does not actually address the root causes of the conflict. And for us, as the youth of South Sudan, what we define as a good peace is a peace which addresses the causes of the conflict, so that we are able to identify what the problems are and people come up with a solution. But that thing is not happening. What is happening is for them to be more or less on power sharing to maintain the status quo.
So just to be clear, your representatives will not sign anything unless it addresses the concerns that you just listed.
Yes, to be clear, we are still talking as a South Sudanese youth, and our position remains very unchanged, that the only peace that we must ascend to as a South Sudanese youth is good peace. And that is something that we cannot be a stakeholder to something that does not make any difference.
Help me understand what your concerns are with the power-sharing agreement. That was on the table today. As you know, the proposal was to have four vice presidents.
Dwelling so much on position, the number of positions, the number of whether that would be five vice presidents or four vice presidents, three vice presidents, that is not the problem. What needs to be addressed are the concerns. What leads us to the conflict? So that is what I believe is the most important thing that should be discussed. What leads to the conflict in South Sudan, and how could we address those issues? Because even if you still give them the four vice presidents, or you give them those top positions, still nothing will change in South Sudan. It will remain the status quo, and they will build in more power centers. Because four vice presidents means four more power centers being built in the country. And the reason why we have a lot of issues in South Sudan is because we have a lot of power centers. And those power centers, because of the manipulation that they've been using, so they use the young people of South Sudan for their own personal benefit. And that is something that we don't want. So we don't want to create more power centers. Instead, we want a peace that will address those kind of issues and bring us together as the South Sudanese.
Malual, how would you describe the mood at the revitalization talks?
The mood at the revitalization talks, it's not very progressive or not very hopeful as people thought it is. But we can lose everything. It's only hope that we cannot lose. We still have faith on the IGAD and calling upon them to put more pressure on those that are dragging peace, those that are spoiling peace. And they should not be afraid to tell, to talk to the faces of those that are spoiling the peace agreement. So it's not as progressive as it's supposed to be, because now we are left with only one day, and there is nothing which is there seems to be no agreement.
Is there a sense of urgency?
Pardon?
Is there a sense of urgency among the parties to try to come to some agreement?
Well, with the parties to the agreement, there seems to be no sense of urgency within the parties, because what they need, their sense of urgency is more on whether they get what they want or not. For them, it seems like they are not concerned about peace, which is needed by the people of South Sudan right now. So they are concerned about their own position, and that is something that we as the young people of South Sudan cannot agree to. We need to have peace, and we need to have it right now. So for them, they are concerned about their position. They are not so much concerned about the peace which is needed right now.
That's Malual Bolkir, a member of the UN Secretary General's advisory panel of experts on youth, peace and security. He was speaking to Ayen Bior from Kampala earlier today. A defense witness in a case of a South African accused of a conspiracy against South Sudan says he did not receive a summons from the court. William John Kindley was arrested in August 2016 shortly after fighting flared up between government forces and Riek Machar's bodyguards, causing Machar to flee the country. Wake Simon Wudu reports for VOA from Juba.
Kindley appeared in court today, but six defense witnesses, including First Vice President Tabande Ndgai, Petroleum Minister Ezekiel Lul Gatkwoth, and Higher Education Minister Ian Oral Lam, were absent in court. South Sudan Minister for Higher Education Lam told the South Sudan in Focus that he has no knowledge of the case.
This is what I don't know. Even none of the defense made myself. How could I be a witness to somebody I do not know? And in the case that I'm not even aware of circumstances.
The spokesman for Tabande Ndgai says the first vice president has traveled overseas. Agel Machara says he is not in a position to comment.
I'm not updated on this case. I don't know about it. I'm hearing it for the first time from you. I will have to ask before I can make a comment on it.
Defense lawyer Gar Adel told the court today that most of the key witnesses have traveled out of the country, and he pleaded for more time to produce them in court at a later date. But presiding High Court Judge Lado Armenio rejected the defense pleas, saying he will announce his final verdict next week. William John Enley was arrested and detained by South Sudan National Security officers in August 2016, shortly after a flare-up of violence in the capital Juba between government and rebel forces that forced Machar to exile. Gar Adel, Endley's defense lawyer in South Sudan, describes the charges against his client.
The conspiracy to overthrow the government, which is under the National Security Service Act 2014, espionage, also contrary to Section 57 of the National Security Act, supply of weaponry to insurgents, bodies, saboteur or terrorists under the Penal Code Act 2008, subverting constitutional government, the same law, and illegal entry to South Sudan under the Passport and Immigration Act 2011.
Endley, a retired South African colonel, first appeared in court in October last year, together with his co-defendant, James Gadet Dak, Machar's former spokesman. The court sentenced Gadet to a 21-year jail term and death by hanging this week, sparking huge condemnations from activists in South Sudan. Journalists were not allowed to record today's proceedings. The defense lawyer explains the decision made by the court today.
Today is the defense and the prosecution closes its case, and today the court also closes the defense case. So that means we have come to the closing of the case.
The chief prosecutor, Deng Achwil, told the South Sudan in Focus he is not being authorized to speak to the media. Adel says if John is found guilty, his client could be sentenced to life imprisonment and possibly even the death penalty. Adel says Endley was performing his duties as a security contractor to help Machar's forces be integrated into the SPLA prior to being arrested.
He was contracted sometime in February 2016 to April to come and assist the IO in reintegrating their forces into the National Army and other organized forces.
Endley's first defense team, led by Monyulwak Kwol Alor, withdrew from the case more than 3 weeks ago, citing Article 8 of the Cessation of Hostilities Agreement signed in December last year, which requires South Sudan's warring parties to release prisoners of war and political detainees. Endley's daughter, Geneth Endley, told the South Sudan in Focus last year that she had not been able to learn much about the case against the retired colonel. Maiwen McCall, spokesman for the South Sudan's Ministry of Foreign Affairs, told this program last year that Endley had violated South Sudan's visa rules. He did not provide details. McCall says Endley would be released once the government finished its investigation. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, religious leaders add their voices to the call for reforms in South Sudan. That story is coming up next.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what makes you feel loved and appreciated?
Even when most time I do something good and people praise me, ask somewhere like that thing you did, and that most time it makes me feel good.
What makes me feel loved, it's internal. I hardly have somebody who, you know, makes me feel loved. Although I would say my parents inspire me and push me on, but they have a strange way of doing it. Most time it's through criticism. When you are criticized, it spurs me up.
When actually people have concern about me, because there are different languages of love. Okay, some people do appreciate the word aspect of love. Some people, spoken words per se. Some people, it is gift. So, but for me, what makes me feel love, like I said earlier, is when people care for me.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. Some religious leaders in South Sudan say unless the country's security sector is reformed, the culture of impunity will continue unabated. The religious leaders were speaking at a two-day dialogue on security sector reforms in Juba. Dimo Silva Aurelio has more on that story for VOA from Juba.
Bishop Moses Deng Bull is the bishop of Wau Diocese in the Episcopal Church of South Sudan. He says a disciplined army can protect all civilians regardless of their ethnicity.
Soldiers should be trained to know that they are to defend the nation but not to harass civilians. Because this is the mindset so many soldiers have. Some generals also think that they are above the law because they have the power of the gun. They think they cannot obey the law. We have to have the rule of law, and the law should be above everybody else, from the president down.
Bishop Deng says South Sudan has too many soldiers who have been recruited on a tribal basis. He is asking the government to retire many elderly generals.
There is a need for security sector reform so that the soldiers treat civilians with dignity, because you are given that gun. And by the way, that gun is bought with the money of that civilian. It is me who is taxed. It is the natural resources that God has given us in South Sudan. They don't belong to the soldiers alone. They belong to all the South Sudanese. Those are the resources that were used to buy that gun, so that you come and use it to protect me, not to abuse me.
He says long as the government continues to employ a large number of soldiers who do not respect the rule of law, civilians will continue to suffer. Religious leaders from Kenya, Uganda, and Rwanda were invited to the dialogue to share their views on how they helped steer their governments towards security sector reforms. David Kodia, the Anglican Bishop of Bondo in Kenya, says Africa as a whole has a problem of ethnicity. He says South Sudan's leaders must begin to address the problem in order to move the country forward. Kodia says one thing the government should begin doing now is recruit literate youth from all over the country into the National Army.
They should set aside an independent organ that will be given the full mandate to recruit across the country or across the nation, across ethnic divides. That will be the starting point. The independence of recruitment agencies. Without any political interference, that will be the first step forward.
Bishop Michael Taban of the Pentecostal Church says South Sudan's leaders must also listen to their people.
So I think if there is this and there is a listening ears, I think we can be able to allow ourselves to build our institutions. Given the economic situation and so on, things are going to be hard, but we must go slowly together in reforming this until things will go right. Given longer period, we shall have really built democratic institutions, respect of human rights and the rule of law, the Justice Department, the good parliament, and all that.
Elizabeth Mario represents Catholic women at the two-day conference. Speaking in Arabic, she says the government must also pay reasonable salaries to soldiers and other members of the organized forces to motivate soldiers.
Because there is insecurity at night, robbers enter the house and rape a woman in front of her children and the husband. What we want to see is that salaries of soldiers are paid. Soldiers are put together as one national army, not belonging to different groups or individuals.
Soro Ismail Okach works with the South Sudan Law Society, which organized the dialogue.
The objective of this discussion is to find synergies on how the religious leaders and the civil societies can work together towards a security sector reform process that can involve all security forces, a citizen-driven security sector reform process where the citizens themselves are involved on what type of security they want.
The two-day religious leaders dialogue on security sector reform is expected to come up with a way forward on how the civil society can influence security sector reform. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
From Juba, we go to South Africa, where Cyril Ramaphosa has been elected South Africa's new president, replacing Jacob Zuma. Ramaphosa's swearing-in ceremony ends days of political tension in the country as leaders of the ruling African National Congress work to push Zuma out. The long-term party popularity has shrunk under the weight of a growing number of scandals. Zuma resigned late last night. VOA's correspondent Anita Powell in Johannesburg spoke with my colleague Kate Pound-Dawson today to bring us up to speed on South Africa's political changes.
Less than 24 hours after Jacob Zuma's dramatic resignation, South Africa has a new president.
I declare the Honorable Matamela Cyril Ramaphosa duly elected President of the Republic of South Africa.
That was the nation's Chief Justice, Mogoeng Mogoeng, who presided over a hopeful, festive parliamentary session on Thursday, just hours after President Jacob Zuma conceded to his party's mounting insistence that he step down early. Ramaphosa, a successful businessman who spent the last 4 years as deputy president under Zuma, and who recently became head of the ANC, immediately launched a charm offensive on the usually fractious House. He pledged to work with the nation's many opposition parties and to remember his place, a sharp contrast to Zuma's more combative tendencies.
And I will do all this as a servant of our people, because I do believe that when one is elected in this type of position, you basically become a servant of the people of South Africa. And I'll seek to execute that task with humility, with faithfulness, and with dignity as well. That is what I will seek to do.
But not all parties applauded the new president. Before nominations began, the far-left Economic Freedom Fighters Party walked out because the party argues that parliament should be dissolved and snap elections be held to replace Zuma. Musi Maimane, leader of the largest opposition party, the Democratic Alliance, chastised Ramaphosa and his party for standing by Zuma amid his long-simmering corruption scandals, and also called for early elections.
We don't have a Jacob Zuma problem. We have an ANC problem. And I want to say this, that this is a moment in our country where we must move Section 50 and go back to the people of South Africa and ask them for a fresh mandate so that we can bring a new beginning to South Africa. Mr. Ramaphosa, I wish you strength, but no, we will hold you accountable and I will see you in 2019 on the ballot box.
Where is Fandame?
Ramaphosa will deliver his first State of the Nation address Friday, a speech that Zuma was supposed to give earlier this month. Ramaphosa has acknowledged that he faces many challenges in his new role. They include cleaning up corruption in his own party, easing the country's persistent economic inequality, and holding on to his new job when South Africa holds elections next year. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
That's our show for this Thursday. We now leave you with a song about peace by a South Sudanese musician who does not want to be identified for fear of government reaction. We have been listening to a peace song by a South Sudanese musician who does not want to be identified because he fears for his life. I'm John Tanza in Washington. We are glad you could join us. We'd like to hear what you think about this show. You can send us an email at southsudan@voanews.com. You can also find us on Facebook. Our Facebook name is South Sudan in Focus. Tune in again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
believe.